So good. Well, we've been in the series Kingdom Living, and yeah, it's been a good summer, right? Focusing on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I've been really encouraged by it. I know Derek and Brian have been, they kind of covered in a few weeks while we were away, and so it was just a joy to hear those sermons, and it's been a good series. You know, this week, one of the thoughts that was just kind of on my mind was what Brian said last week. I think he said something to the effect that this is like, when it comes to discipleship and in our journey with God, the Sermon on the Mount is like, it's the best how-to that we're ever gonna find in discipleship, right? We can read books, and there's amazing books on discipleship, but Jesus, you know, spells it out so well. And so I think it's so important that we spend time focusing on it, and I love that we have been. Just this week, my oldest daughter, I don't think she's in the room, so I can kind of talk about her, just kidding. but our oldest daughter, Lila, she was kind of looking for something to do. You know, kids get bored. And so I said, and Crystal and I both said, like, hey, why don't you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and just kind of check it out. Like, the Bible's probably the most interesting book you're ever going to read. And so she did, and she was like commenting on different things, you know, like, Daddy, what does this part mean? Like where people are slapping each other across the cheek, and like, you know, why would someone steal their coat and all of that? Anyway, so it was cute, but I just thought it was so cool. Like, just again, kind of to bring that value, you know, to that Sermon on the Mount. And we know that the whole Bible is inspired by God, of course, right? But we want to be disciples of Jesus and study, be students of his words, right? So it's the best how-to that we're going to find. And so I want to, with that kind of thought and with that heart, I want to look at Matthew 6, verse 24 through 34 this morning. And it's kind of a continuation of the thought that Brian preached about last weekend. He challenged us with this question, where is your treasure? Right? Where's your treasure? Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be. There your desires will be. And of course, we know, right, that we're called to store up treasures in heaven and not treasures on earth, right? If we're striving for earthly things, if that's what's consuming us in life, we're going to find, sadly, that we're wasting our time, right? And the sooner we can find that, and the sooner that we can kind of wrap our minds around that and really understand that truth and adjust our lives accordingly, the better. Because, you know, anything that we can accumulate or accomplish here on earth, like Pastor Brian said last weekend, right, it all becomes absolutely meaningless the moment we die. Right? And so why spend our whole lives working for something that doesn't mean anything the moment that we die? And so I was so encouraged, you know, just with this reminder that we're called to have an eternal perspective and not just an earthly perspective. And so this morning, my sermon is going to be kind of a continuation of that thought, and I titled it First Things First. It's a similar thought where we are called in life to keep the first things first, and we're going to see that as we go. Tell someone next to you, first things first. First things first. Let's read Matthew 6, starting in verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. And so that's, again, kind of talking about that whole thought that Brian shared last weekend, was just if we're focused and preoccupied with only, you know, money and earthly things, these things are actually going to take away from our ability to serve God freely, right? And so we need to understand that. And so it doesn't mean that we shouldn't have money. It's just, it means that we can't serve God and be enslaved to money. And so we need to keep him as our primary pursuit, right? That's what this whole section of scripture in chapter 6 is all about. So let's continue in verse 25. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, or for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Let me ask you a question. How easily do you worry? Fair. Like, when's the last time you worried about something? For me, it was probably this morning. Just being honest, right? We're on a journey. Probably all of us find ourselves on a journey somewhere of addressing worry in our lives. But we see very clearly that's what Jesus is addressing in this section of his sermon. He's addressing worry. And he's stressing over and over that we should not worry. And if we kind of break it down verse by verse, in Matthew 6, verse 25, what we just read at the beginning, that's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Like, how many of us have worried about everyday life this past week, right? If we're honest, you don't all have to raise your hands. I know you might have, maybe you didn't, but it's a very real thing, everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? I want to point out that Jesus, he doesn't actually mention specific things of not to worry about. Like he could have said, like, don't worry about your job. Don't worry about, you know, your house. Don't worry about, you know, your all the different things, all the specific things, you know, your car and how you're going to get to work and all those kinds of things. He could have mentioned a whole bunch of specifics. But what he does say is, don't worry about having enough food and drink and clothes. And I think what this is saying, what Jesus is saying, he's using a greater to lesser argument, meaning that he's saying that if you shouldn't worry about the very essential things, right? Like, these would be the three things that would probably we would call the most worthy of our worry would be food, drink, and clothing, right? And he's saying, you don't even need to worry about those things. And it's this greater to lesser, meaning that if you shouldn't worry about those things, then surely you shouldn't worry about anything, right? You shouldn't worry about anything. That's his message to us. And then at the end of verse 25, he says, life is more than food and the body more than clothing. And so, of course, we need physical food, right? Of course, we know that. We have to eat. We're physical beings in a physical world. But he's pointing out it's more than just physical. You know, in Matthew 4, verse 4, he says that we don't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God, right? So it's this thought that we need spiritual sustenance in life, right? Not only physical sustenance. And so it's just a reminder, you know, for me, sometimes it's easier to kind of focus on the physical because that's what's sort of in my face, so to speak. Like, that's what's in front of me. That's what I can see. That's what I can touch, right? Those are the people that I'm looking at, right? But this, I believe, is a reminder. Life is so much more than just the physical. We need spiritual sustenance. We are physical beings, but we are also spiritual beings. I think sometimes it's hard for us to kind of keep that in our minds because, again, right, it's the physical, the seen versus the spiritual, which is often unseen. But he's, I believe, reminding us, don't neglect your spiritual beings. Don't neglect your spiritual being when you're making these efforts to provide for your physical being. Right? Another thought I had with that is that we can't just remain spiritual babies but grow up physically. right? Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like, where's your focus? Is it only on the physical things, right? The job, the house, the family, all those kinds of things. Or is there a focus in your life on the spiritual and even on your spiritual growth, right? We are spiritual beings. Life is far more than what we eat, drink, or wear. And so Jesus says, don't worry. But I love, have you ever read this and realized that he doesn't just say, don't worry, and then leave it at that, right? He's actually giving us several reasons why we shouldn't worry. And I want to highlight two of them. First of all, he gives us this reason not to worry. In verse 26, he's basically saying, God values you enough to provide for you. He values you enough to provide for you. Look at it again. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? It's so cool, right? Jesus is saying, look around. Like, if you're struggling with worry, look around. Look at the birds. Look at the ecosystem, the intricacies of how he's created the world, and the fact that animals have this ability to find food. They have instincts, and it's there for them. Like, if God can do that, then how much more can't he provide for us? So he's saying, look around. Look at this. Don't you think that he values you more than the animals? Right? That he took that much care for, that he took that much effort in providing for. He values us more than even them. And so we need to remember this morning, and maybe this is the sermon that some of us need this morning, is just that you are made in his image. You are made in his image. You are a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And so we need to let that grow our faith, and let that grow our understanding, and deepen our trust in the fact that we are valuable to him and that he loves us enough to provide for us. You know, God is our creator, and I and you are the created. And the creator, we know, is always faithful. And that means that if the creator is always faithful, that means that the creator will always care for his created, right? And so I find so much comfort in that. You know, for my own life, I find so much comfort in that, and knowing that he cares for me enough to provide for me. We serve a God with the name Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. That's what that means. The promise is right there in his name. Isn't that awesome? I love Genesis 22 in verse 13 and 14. It's the first time that the word or the name Jehovah Jireh is revealed. And it's in the context of God providing a ram in the thicket for Abraham to offer up for God instead of his son Isaac, right? If we read those two verses, then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Jireh, and that's the same as Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. You know, Abraham, I'm so inspired by him. He stood on that promise. He stood on that promise. He was full of faith. He took his son up. He tied him up. He had him on the altar. He was ready to sacrifice his son for the Lord, because I believe he was full of faith that God would provide in some way. And guess what? He did. God provided. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. And so he fully depended on God, and God came through, and then he named that place the Lord will provide. And I want to remind us this morning, we are valued by Jehovah Jireh. That should do something in my heart to realize that, right? We are valued by Jehovah Jireh. He values us enough to provide for us. And of course, that can look different ways, right? He provides through miracles. He provides through other people. He can open doors that we could never open. Can look different ways. But he says, don't worry. Jehovah Jireh, values you enough to provide for you. I want to ask us this morning, do you believe that you're valuable to him? Do you believe that? Is that a deep understanding in your heart? Do you believe that you're valuable to him? And the other question is, what do you need in this season? Do you look to him as your provider? We gotta look to him, right? Jesus says, don't worry, you're taken care of. That's the first reason. The second reason he gives us is in verse 27. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And it's kind of a rhetorical question, we know, right? Obviously, our worries can't add a single moment. Have you ever had a week where, man, it would have been good if worry you could have worried your way into an extra hour every day? I had a week like that this past week, actually. And I would have, you know, several times I fell into worry, like, what if I just don't get it all done this week? You know, and it's ironic because I'm preaching about this, right? And I was even worried at times about this sermon, about worry, which is like, what are you even doing, Brad, right? But that's just me in my humanness. And I would have loved to worry my way into a few extra hours this week. Would have loved that. Right? But that's not how it works, right? We can't add a moment. And I believe what he's saying is that worry doesn't work. Like, just by the way, like, to your logic, the logical part of your brain, people, worry doesn't work. Like, I need that reminder all the time. Brad, you're wasting time. Like, don't even do that, right? You're wasting time. It doesn't accomplish anything. Worry doesn't solve my problems. It doesn't provide solutions. It doesn't rescue me. It's a waste of time. Right? And so I just want to remind us, none of us are ever going to reach a point in our life where we look back and we say, man, I'm so glad I worried so much. Right? Like, yeah, like, wow, that was really helpful. Right? No, of course not. You know, worry is a waste of time, a waste of brain space, a waste of emotional space and all of that, right? In fact, it has the opposite effect. It actually immobilizes us often, right? Worry can immobilize us, it can cripple us, and actually cripple our ability to just effectively walk out what God has for us. And trust me, like I said, this is real for me. I'm preaching to myself this morning. It's very real. And so Jesus is reminding us, don't worry. It doesn't accomplish anything. It's a great reason not to, right? I want to clarify too, though, that worry and concern are two different things, right? Worry immobilizes us, but concern actually moves us to action. And so those are two different things, right? So he's not saying that you should just live completely carefree and even just be passive or lazy and just have like a whatever will be attitude, right? Of course, that's not what he's saying. Right? That's not the attitude God is calling us to. I don't think God is opposed to work. I think he's opposed to worry, right? Worry takes our focus off of God, and we need to look to him as our provider. And Jesus, he reiterates this again with another illustration in verse 28 through 30. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. How many of you have planted flowers this year? Yeah, a bunch of flower-loving individuals love it. My wife also plants flowers. I'm not a huge flower planter myself, but I do enjoy looking at them and not as much smelling them. I don't know why. Anyways, they smell fine, but I've never quite understood the whole, like, oh, they smell so good. I love wildflowers, and I love flowers in general. We have some wildflowers at the edge of our garden, and they're beautiful, right? But I want us to just kind of understand this picture that Jesus is giving us. Like as you know about flowers, they're here today and kind of gone tomorrow. Like, it's a short season where flowers actually bloom, right? And so it's they're here today, gone tomorrow. If God cares that much about seemingly insignificant things like flowers and grass, if he cares that much, surely he cares even more about us, right? surely he will give us what we need. I think some of, yeah, we just need that reminder. Reasons why we don't need to worry, right? We serve a God by the name of Jehovah Jireh, and we can't waste our time with worry. And then look at the question Jesus asks at the end of verse 30. Why do you have so little faith? That's what worry is, right? That's kind of what worry is about. Worry is actually a faith issue, right? That's what worry is. It's a faith issue. And you know, all through the book of Matthew, I've been reading this summer and all through the book, Jesus is, it's a major theme through the whole entire book, calling us back to faith, calling us back to a place of dependence and trust on him. Where's your faith, right? Like, it's a faith issue. He's addressing a heart condition of faithlessness. And I think he was talking to people that were relying on their own ability to provide for themselves. And how many of us, you know, aren't guilty of that over and over too, right? Relying on our own abilities. I think we're so prone to worry in our lives when we're not rooted in a deep sense of faith that God is in control. That's a huge source of worry. That's at the root of worry, I believe. You know, I think about the disciples in the boat. I think about, you know, Jesus challenging them in their faith. It's because they didn't see God for who he was. They didn't see Jesus for who he was. The God who can calm the storm. The God who can, with his word, say, be still, and the storm stops, right? That's the God. And so it's a faith issue. They didn't understand that. And over, Jesus invites us into this place of trust and dependence on him. And that's what this is again, right? An invitation to trust and dependence. I think worry is often, it's this byproduct of losing sight of Jehovah Jireh and trying to take over the steering wheel of our own life, trying to take control, right? Instead of releasing control to him and trusting him, we kind of say, God, I don't know if I can trust you. We don't say it, but we kind of say it with our actions. I don't know if I can trust you. I'm going to take control of my own life. It's a byproduct of losing sight of Jehovah Jireh. I think worry is a byproduct of losing sight of God's sovereignty over everything. It's another way of saying kind of the same thing, right? But think about it. Instead of releasing control, instead of living life with an open hand, open hands like this, God, I know that you are in control. Instead of that, we try to take control of our lives, right? Of our circumstances, of our income, of our health, whatever it might be. But when you think about it, we don't have a lot of control over very much, do we? We really don't. And so it's just leaning into that sovereignty of God. It's so amazing. It's so freeing. And I think we need that reminder this morning, this invitation from Jesus to remember that God is in control and live in that truth. Respond to the invitation of trust and dependence on Jesus. You know, dependence is not something that's very celebrated in our world, right? And honestly, because of pride and because of doubt, often dependence doesn't feel very good, right? Like, how many of us love it? You don't have to raise your hand, but just like love to ask for help. Like, just love it. Like, you know, just like always, you know, you need help all the time. You just love asking. Like, I'm so excited for the next time I have to ask for help, right? Of course, you know, pride and maybe some of us do. That's okay. Like, maybe you're just better at dependence than I am. But independence, right? That's what's celebrated in our world. Independence, if you can be an independent person. And I think that sometimes can kind of creep in and shape our view of how this whole thing goes, right? But no, Jesus says, no, I'm inviting you into a place of trust and into a place of dependence. That can be hard, right? To release control, and pride and doubt, it wants to creep in. But dependence is right where God wants us. Dependence is right where God wants us. That makes us pliable for him to work with, right? When we're dependent on him. So we can't let pride or doubt creep in and cause us to push God out of the driver's seat. And we got to let him take control and put our faith in him and his ability, not our own. Amen. I want to encourage you this morning, the next time you feel worry and you're not sure how to take the next step, I want you to ask God specifically for this. You can ask him for other things too, but this is just one thing you should ask him for specifically. Ask him to reveal his sovereignty to you. The next time you feel worry, you're not sure how to step forward, ask God to reveal his sovereignty to you. I think it's so powerful. And then stand on that promise that he's Jehovah Jireh, that he will provide. Verse 31 to 33. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And then this amazing verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Many translations say, seek first the kingdom of God and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So he's saying again, your heavenly Father knows what you need. Don't let your thoughts, don't let your attention be dominated by these material things. That's how unbelievers live. That's how people that don't understand that they have a loving heavenly Father who provides for them, that's how they live. Don't live like that. Right? Don't live like that. This can be a difficult thing. Like I said, these everyday things, they're always knocking on our door to take our attention and consume us. But he's saying, seek first the kingdom of God. Instead of letting those thoughts, those worries dominate your mind, seek first the kingdom of God. Yes, we have to take care of physical things and be responsible and all of that. Of course, right? Of course. But it's actually not our primary, right? It's we are spiritual beings with a spiritual calling. Spiritual beings with a spiritual calling. I love the way he says seek. I think to seek first his kingdom, it means to consistently pursue God and align ourselves completely with his purposes. Seek, right? Seek. There's action in it. Consistently pursuing God and his will, right? We're not letting material things crowd our focus from fully committing to this active search for God's will. And we make that our primary goal, right? I think at the heart of it, Jesus is just saying, hey, don't seek your needs first. Seek the God who gives you your needs first, right? Don't seek your needs first. Seek God who gives you your needs first, and he will make sure that your needs are met. And so it's put the first things first, right? Put the first things first, and God will take care of the rest. And then lastly, verse 34, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. How many of us need that reminder, right? Today's trouble is enough for today. You know, I read that and I'm comforted because I know that God will always provide for my needs when I put him first. But that doesn't mean there's not going to be problems in life, right? And what I find so encouraging in this is that, yes, life has trouble, but I don't need to multiply those troubles by worrying about them before they even happen. And how many times do we worry about something or whatever and something tomorrow, something in the future, and it doesn't even happen. And it's totally different than we would have even thought, right? Yes, life has troubles, but don't multiply those troubles by worrying about them before they happen. God has your future in his hands. That's what that verse says. God has your future in his hands. He will provide in his perfect timing. So we can put our faith in him, right? I want to close by just encouraging us with Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. I came across this verse this week and was just so impacted. I thought it went so perfectly with this. And just let this speak to your heart. Let the word of God speak to your heart, his living truth. It says in Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4, you, talking about God, God will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. He's the eternal rock. I love that picture of eternal rock that never moves, never shifts, never wavers, perfectly solid 100% of the time. That's God, right? He's the one that can bring us peace. I want to encourage us with that as we fix our thoughts on him, amen? Stand with me as I close in prayer. Father, just like Isaiah talks about, we want to fix our thoughts on you this week as we go from here. God, as we're reminded about just amazing reasons not to worry, Lord, we want to take our position on the rock, the solid foundation that you are for us. We want to take our position, intentionally commit to standing on that truth, standing on that promise that you are Jehovah Jireh, God who provides. God, build faith in me. Grow your faith in me. God, I can't even muster up faith. I need you to help me. Just want to encourage you to respond to this message this morning and just ask God to grow your faith today.